Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Meet Gary. Gary's about to become an Einstein in an instant.
Whoa, Einstein hair. I like it.
That's right, Gary, because you're using Salesforce powered by Einstein AI to connect data, predict business trends, generate personalized content, and wow customers.
I do feel a lot smarter.
Because you're not just Gary anymore. You're Gary, empowered by Einstein AI.
Did you hear that, team? I'm an Einstein.
Oh, can I get a selfie?
The number one AI CRM. Now everyone's an Einstein with Salesforce.
Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
Welcome to Bloomberg UK Politics, your bite-sized guide to the corridors of power. I'm Caroline Hepke.
And I'm Ewan Potts. Well, Labour is attempting to grab the agenda on the economy today. After their local election successes last week, the party's attempting to squash any Conservative attempts at regrouping and any attempts to coalesce around improving economic data. Shadow Chancellor Rachel Reeves has been in action. She's been speaking this morning, saying that things might get better and soon.
By the time of the next election, we can expect, and we should expect, interest rates to be lower, Britain to be out of recession, and inflation to have returned to the Bank of England's target. Indeed, these things could happen this month. I already know what the Prime Minister and the Chancellor will say in response to one or all of these events happening. They've been saying it for months now. Our plan is working. The economy is turning a corner. Stick with us.
So that's the sort of positive case. But on the other hand, here's the crucial bit from Rachel Reeves. She argues the public are being gaslit by the Tories.
When they hear government ministers telling them that they have never had it so good, that they should look out for the feel-good factor, all they hear is a government that is deluded and totally out of touch with the realities on the ground. The Conservatives are gaslighting the British public.
So Rachel Reeves there, well, channeling a bit of Ingrid Bergman then. I mean, being gaslit, basically making someone question their own reality. She also came out with a favoured Labour line, of course, which I think you're going to hear a lot ahead of the election. Do you feel better off now than you did 14 years ago? The kind of bottom line as Labour sees it.
Yeah, it's very powerful, isn't it? I think that's been borrowed from, wasn't there a US election campaign where it was famously asked, wasn't it? And it's a very, very powerful thing. I mean, I think the danger of course, 14 years is a long period of time. So some people probably do feel better off than 14 years ago. Mm. But a lot of people will say the answer is no. And I think, you know, we were discussing this in the office earlier, weren't we, about whether economic data matters. And economic data doesn't matter to people, does it? But what matters is whether they feel like they're doing okay financially. And well, a lot of people, for them, the answer is no.
That's certainly the Reeves argument, right, with the Securenomics plan. The question, though, is can Labour improve the economic picture significantly themselves for Britain? I mean, let's discuss that then with Philip Aldrich, who joins us, who's just come straight from the Rachel Reeves speech, actually, which was in the City of London. Phil, thanks so much for being with us. And what's your impression, first of all, of that speech? I listened in. I watched it online. Do you think that it was forceful and persuasive? I mean, the Labour Party are trying to get out after the local election gains and really kind of stomp on the Conservative Party ground.
Well, she made it very clear that she says Labour are going to fight this election on the economy. And obviously, that is exactly where Rishi Sunak is trying to fight the election. So it's like, you know, they're saying, bring it on, we're ready for you. And then their arguments are, look at the track record, this, you know, the point about the 14 years. And she's kind of inverting this famous line from the 2015 election where the Tories were claiming chaos under Ed Miliband or stability under David Cameron. And so now it's like stability with a changed Labour Party, as she put it, or chaos with, you know, continuing with what we've had recently. So the rhetoric is quite good, but you know, then you get into the substance, and it, I don't know. I suppose details always fall flat. They're never that's not soaring oratory, but it doesn't feel like there's a huge dramatic vision for the economy on when it gets to that point.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about those details actually, because Labour have been, I think it's probably fair to say, quite cagey about coming forward on their policy plans ahead of the election for very good political reasons. But on the economic front, what do we know so far about their plans?
Well, she's pinning it as this Securenomics, which is sort of Bidenomics without the money to spend on, you know, these huge investment that the US is making. So the sort of core of that is stability. So she does make the point that, you know, when you have Labour, we will have, there's going to be this kind of policy certainty, so business can invest, households can predict, and so that is a very compelling argument to make. I think businesses really like to hear that, and they have been talking to businesses, so you feel like this has come from business. Then she also talks about reform. So that's the other plank of Securenomics, and the reform stuff, is focused actually on planning and workers' rights. So the workers' rights is getting the New Deal for workers is getting fleshed out a bit. So you're going to see, you know, empowered. So you can't be, from day one, you're going to have unfair dismissal rights, but that's day one after the probation period. So whether the probation periods get lengthened or not, it'll be an interesting to watch. You won't be able to do fire and rehire, which is an abusive practice, frankly, from employers. As she put it, you know, business has not really got much to worry about from Labour, as she sees it anyway, because a lot of the stuff that she wants to stamp out, including some zero-hours contracts, if the employees want the zero-hours contracts, they can keep them. But the stuff she really wants to stamp out is the abusive practices, so she can create a level playing field. So that's how they're pitching it. So you can see that this could be quite compelling. Planning reform, it's pretty difficult to make that interesting to the general public, but there isn't really any detail around that. But it is absolutely central to their whole pitch for, you know, doing huge green projects and getting the grid upgraded. And so it is fundamental, but we've not really heard the details about that.
Yes, and I wonder whether, you know, the Labour Party more broadly will go down the Andy Burnham track, as he was describing it in an op-ed piece in one of the papers today or yesterday, I think, talking about building new homes, but then, you know, stopping the right to buy ability for people for local council and affordable housing. Anyway, that's one aspect to this. So she's sort of talking about things that are broadly being seen as reasonable in some ways, certainly when it comes to kind of labour law. Look, is it the right territory then for Rishi Sunak to be trying to argue this general election, whenever it comes, on economic grounds? I mean, the five tests, how do you analyse those? You know, the five promises that Sunak made himself about what he was going to do, including boosting economic growth and all the others.
Well, he should have a relatively good week or two now, because you've got GDP data this week. We're out of recession. That's almost certain. That's what the numbers are going to show. You've got the Bank of England. They probably won't cut rates this week, but they're likely to make it seem that rate cuts are plausible in June or August, basically. So, you know, you've got those two aspects which are positive. You've got inflation before the end of the month. The official inflation figures are going to show that it's basically close enough or back to the 2% target. So he can score some little victories here, and he can make the argument that, you know, our plan is working. I inherited a mess from Liz Truss, and now I'm improving things, so I am the change candidate. As he's kind of tried to pitch himself as one of his various guises. But as Reeve says, you know, you look at 14 years ago, things were, you know, certainly public services were in better condition, and, you know, we haven't had really great leaps forward in living standards. And as she said, you know, saying that we're no longer in recession is not really, you know, something that you can get on a soapbox and say this is a great victory. So, you know, it's going to be a hard one. And I think that I think, you know, it sounds Labour is very, very ready to just take the Tories on this.
Is it all a little bit late? Is the timing out for the government? Because, you know, wages are growing at 6% and now inflation is down at below half of that. You know, real wages are growing quite a lot. But that's all happened quite recently, hasn't it? Of course, people's memories are still fresh of inflation being at 11% and wages not going up very much.
Yeah, so the problem with inflation, obviously, when wages have been rising faster than inflation for several months now. So actually that kind of living standards effect has dropped away. But the thing is, it's price levels rather than the rate of inflation. So we already had that big spike in prices and we haven't got wages back above those, you know, making up that lost ground. So people still don't feel better off, even if they feel better off than they did last month, if you see what I mean. Like overall, the picture isn't something particularly encouraging. So it's a tough argument to make, because that's why you want to. I think he wants to delay it as long as possible, the election, that is, because, you know, that gives a lot more time for these beneficial impacts plus the tax cuts, the 20 billion of tax cuts, to really be felt in people's pockets. And, you know, and then if they do have this other fiscal event before the election, they go into it with another tax cut. I imagine actually on that if you want to give money away immediately, you have to do it on something like national insurance or stamp duty, because you can't cut income tax, you know, in year.
And speaking of which, sort of re-racking a little bit, I mean, the new OECD data also kind of backs up that point that real household income per capita is rising. It went up in the last quarter of 2023, according to their new figures. So there is some recent data, as you say, to back up the idea that maybe people will be feeling better off. I mean, I genuinely want to ask you that question, though. What is your view in terms of how rosy the economic data could get, and how quickly, and whether it's in time to catch on to the general public who might be voting in the depths of winter, maybe November, some people think even December for the general election. It is a kind of timing question too.
Yeah, a lot can change in 6 months. I remember three years ago, Keir Starmer nearly resigned after those local elections. It does feel like a big ask to turn around the sort of psychology of the population by making them feel that much better off within 6 months.
It's a tall order.
It's a hugely tall order. So it's really got to be about how people think things are going to look like in the future, and there you can make a better case, because there were some good figures out recently. EY collects these FDI, foreign direct investment project numbers, and the UK bucked the European Union trend, because investment FDI into Europe was dropping, and we had a big increase actually on value levels in terms of pounds spent. We are second behind US only. China's dropped away recently. So you're getting this investment in this idea of policy stability, which is what Hunt and Sunak are trying, and Reeves and Starmer are promising what they'll do as well. Those kind of bedrocks for investment into the UK, plus the falling wage, the falling inflation, improving the living standards, things could start looking a bit better in 2025. That's what I'm saying, but that'll probably be too late for the Tories.
Okay. Bloomberg's Philip Aldrich. Philip Aldrich, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Bloomberg's senior UK economic reporter. So coming straight to the Bloomberg Radio studio from listening into that speech with Rachel Reeves, in which she talked about Rishi Sunak gaslighting the British public about the state of the economy. And of course, we get the crucial GDP data on Friday. So the growth figures for the start of this year for the UK on Friday, and the Bank of England rate decision on Thursday. Probably no change, but change in sight in terms of bringing those interest rates down below maybe 5%.
Yeah, really interesting on this key question of the economic data and the what it'll do for the Tories' fortunes. I think Phil makes a really interesting point, is that although real incomes have been growing for some months, the point is they haven't made up for all those price spikes that we saw over the past couple of years. So Phil might gradually start feeling better, but they still feel like they're poorer than they were before. And on interest rates, I think that's a little bit overblown as well, because the Bank of England is unlikely to cut very much before the end of the year. And the number of people whose mortgages will come up for renewal in that short period of time before the election is vanishingly small.
Yeah. And the Labour Party coming out swinging. That's it from us for today. If you like the programme, don't forget to subscribe. Give it 5 stars so that other people can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
This episode was produced by James Walcock, and our audio engineer was Sean Gostomachia. I'm Ewan Potts.
And I'm Caroline Hepke. We'll be back with more tomorrow. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg UK Politics. Listen weekdays at noon on DAB Digital Radio in London.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Johann Schmiegel, you've got the world's highest IQ.
Yes, 247.
Wow, did you know that thanks to Salesforce with Einstein AI, everyone's smarter? Now everyone's an Einstein, just like you.
But I'm the smartest.
Not anymore. With connected data and trusted AI, everyone can give customers experiences they've only dreamed of. Oh, look, here's a few Einsteins now.
Hey, hi.
Hola, amigo.
Everyone's an Einstein?
It's okay, Johann, let it happen. The number one AI CRM. Now everyone's an Einstein with Salesforce.